And please stand by. Good day and welcome to the Veterans and Immigration Press Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Kathleen Farrell. Please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to the National Immigration Forum and Veterans for New Americans Press Call. I'm Kathleen Farrell, Director of Communications for the National Immigration Forum. The U.S. Armed Forces currently face serious recruitment challenges, and yet our immigration laws bar many who would be willing and able to serve, namely undocumented youth who were brought to the country as children and who have grown up here. In order for the U.S. military to recruit successfully, it must have access to the largest potential pool of qualified candidates. Future net growth in the U.S. population of 18 to 29-year-olds, the segment of the population most likely to enlist, will come entirely from immigrants and children of immigrants. Therefore, immigrants will play an increasingly vital role in the military's ability to sustain an all-volunteer force. They will be an important segment of available military recruits, not just because of their numbers, but also because they possess critical skills in demand by the military. Today, the National Immigration Forum and Veterans for New Americans are releasing For Love of Country, New Americans Serving in Our Armed Forces, a white paper which addresses these challenges and offers policy recommendations and solutions. On the call today to discuss the paper and its recommendations, we are joined by policy experts, veterans, and a DACA recipient who has joined the military via the Military Accessions Vital to the National Interest, or MAVNI, program. With that, let me turn the call over to our first speaker, Jay Sintema, Director of Policy and Advocacy at the National Immigration Forum. Please go ahead, Jay Sinta.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning. We started working on this report to answer two questions. The first was, what contributions have immigrants, and we define those as those who are foreign-born, what contributions have immigrants made to the U.S. Armed Forces, and are there specific challenges that immigrants face, and do they have specific needs related to their service in the military? And what we found was that they have indeed made a significant contribution, both historically and as well as continuing to make those contributions today. And for instance, we know that 20% of Medal of Honor recipients are immigrants. We also found that immigrants can continue to help with ensuring military force readiness if given the opportunity to do so. Because for many years now, the U.S. has had an all-volunteer military, it faces recruitment challenges, and these vary in severity from year to year. The Center for Naval Analysis estimated in 2015 that only 13% of 17 to 24-year-olds in the U.S. are qualified and available to serve in the military. Yet we have tens of thousands of undocumented youth who are willing and able to serve, but they're barred from doing so. If Congress were to pass legislation to legalize their status, the military would benefit from the addition of thousands of high-quality recruits. In fact, at the time that the DREAM Act legislation was pending in 2010, an estimate then put the number of potential enlistees at more than 70,000. And military leaders at the highest levels, somebody like General Colin Powell, they've urged Congress to pass such legislation. Our nation can ensure the broadest pool of potential service members by including these millions of young undocumented people who came to the U.S. as children. Now, in the report, we also discuss our findings about challenges that are specific to immigrant service members. Our broken immigration system impacts active duty military who have family members who are at risk or who may actually be facing deportation orders. And many service members, they're afraid to enlist or deploy because they fear what might happen to their immigrant family members. And as we all know, family is key to a veteran's reintegration into civilian life. So it's in our best, it's in our nation's best interest to ensure that service members focus on their mission while they're deployed and that they have the family support they need when they return home. Another issue specific to immigrants in the military is naturalization. Immigrants serving in the military, they're eligible to naturalize on an expedited schedule. And the U.S. Armed Forces need to ensure that immigrant service members, as well as veterans, that they have the support that they need to apply for citizenship. In some cases, veterans who did not naturalize during or after enlistment, they've been deported, so losing not only the country that they fought for, but also the benefits they earned, such as access to the Veterans Administration. And we aren't the only ones who have found that immigrants are important to the military. I just want to close with what the Center for Naval Analysis highlighted in 2011. The number of recruitable immigrants in the U.S. in the desired age range is really large and approximately 1.2 million. Immigrants possess skills critically needed in the armed forces, including language diversity. And immigrants have far lower attrition rates and are much less likely to leave early in their service, saving us critical time and money.
Thanks very much, Jacinta. Our next speaker is retired U.S. Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Margaret Stock, who is now an attorney at Cascadia Cross Border Law Group. Please go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I think it's important to point out that the foreign-born are more than 13% of the U.S. population today, and yet they're allowed to participate in the military only if they receive a green card for the most part. This has meant that immigrant participation in the military today is at historic lows because the broken legal immigration system doesn't allow people to get green cards very easily, and therefore it's very difficult for most foreign-born to join the United States Armed Forces. If Congress were to enact comprehensive immigration reform and make it easier for people to get green cards, this would open up an extraordinarily large pool of folks in the U.S. population who would then be eligible for military service. And the military needs this broader pool of eligible recruits. Right now, however, because the government has created an extremely complex and arbitrary system of immigration laws and regulations without attention to the detrimental impact that this system has had on the readiness of the armed forces, the all-volunteer military can't take advantage and can't recruit this large population of folks who are in the United States right now and are U.S. educated and otherwise meet military enlistment standards. If Congress were to fix the immigration system, this would have a positive impact on the United States Armed Forces. If Congress can't enact comprehensive immigration reform, at the very least, Congress should make laws that allow young people who meet military enlistment standards to enlist in the United States military, and that would include initiatives like the DREAM Act, which would allow highly qualified individuals to be eligible for military enlistment. This would increase the pool of eligible recruits, and it would make our armed forces stronger. Right now, the military is forced to lower its enlistment standard for native-born Americans and take much less qualified native-born Americans, people with criminal records, people who don't otherwise meet military enlistment standards, in order to meet recruiting goals. During the last fiscal year, the United States Army Reserve was unable to find enough qualified recruits and missed its recruiting goals, in large part because it was not able to allow immigrants to join the military. They could not find enough native-born qualified troops, and they weren't allowed to enlist immigrants, so they missed their recruiting goals. If Congress passes legislation to legalize the status of young U.S.-educated immigrants who are in the United States already, the military would benefit from having thousands of new high-quality recruits. There's widespread support among military leaders for an initiative of this nature, because immigrants possess skills critically needed in the armed forces, including language diversity and cultural competencies that support strategic interests. From 2009 to 2016 or so, the military made a special effort to recruit immigrants with special skills, and this effort was extremely successful, resulted, among other things, in the U.S. Army Soldier of the Year for 2012, who was an immigrant who joined the military. It resulted in increasing quality marks in the U.S. Army, because the U.S. Army was able to enlist people who had very high educational credentials, folks who had been to MIT and other top institutions in the United States. It allowed the military to gain some notoriety from, for example, the silver medal winner at the 5,000-men meter race in the Rio Olympics was an immigrant who joined the military, Paul Chelimo. He won a silver medal in an event that the U.S. hadn't won in decades. And I just mentioned those as a few unique cases, but the military accession vital to the National Interest Program was highly successful, and according to all the reports done on the program, it increased the readiness of the armed forces dramatically by bringing in highly qualified people. MAVNI has now been halted. However, recruiting of immigrants should continue in order to ensure the readiness and the future mission capability of the United States Armed Forces. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Margaret. Our next speaker is Jim Partington, retired Rear Admiral of the U.S. Navy and now Executive Director at the Nebraska Restaurant Association. Please go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Kathleen. Immigrants have a long history of serving in our military with distinction since the Revolutionary War. We're all familiar with the Marquis de Lafayette, and they've served in leadership roles as well as in the enlisted ranks. Immigrants continue to play a vital role in our nation's military and reserve. In 2015, about 40,000 immigrants served in the armed forces. Today, about 5,000 non-citizen permanent residents enlist each year. In 2016, some 511,000 U.S. veterans, or about 3% of the veterans, were foreign-born. About 11% of U.S. veterans came from an immigrant background. They either were foreign-born or had an immigrant parent. Our armed forces benefit from the patriotism, hard work, and skills that immigrants bring, skills such as foreign language proficiency and cultural competencies that support our strategic interests when troops are deployed abroad. Military service has long been an effective tool for integrating into American society, and the military offers equal opportunities for promotion, future education, and skills training. Service members depend on their brothers and sisters on the front line, regardless of religion, race, ethnicity, or immigration status. During my 33-year career, I served with immigrants from various countries, and I still remember my battalion commander, when I entered flight training, was a native of the British Virgin Islands, and his voice at Reveille every morning had a very unique accent when he woke us all up, told us what the plan of the day was and what uniform we should wear. During the course of my career, I served with immigrants from the Philippines, from the Baltic states and other countries, and they all were very effective, excellent military personnel and officers, and contributed a great deal to the various conflicts we were in over that time. I thank you for the opportunity to participate in this discussion today, and I will turn it back to Kathleen.
Thanks very much, Jim. And our final speaker today is Eric Ruiz, who is a DACA recipient and a participant in the MAVNI program. Please go ahead, Eric.
Good morning. My name is Eric Ruiz. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come here and speak to you guys a little bit about my story and my current situation. I am currently a DACA beneficiary and a participant in the MAVNI program. I came to the United States from Brazil with my mother when I was 9 years old, back in 1997. In hopes of having a better life, of chasing a dream and trying to become somebody. For as long as I can remember, ever since I got here, my dream has been to become a soldier and serve this country. And as I grew older, my ambitions only grew. But when I hit high school and the reality of being undocumented sinked in, I realized that my opportunities and my dreams were very limited because of my legal status, so I could not join the military as I've always hoped for. My hopes were crushed when I was actually laughed at in high school by some teachers because I wasn't a citizen. And the opportunities that were available for me to become legalized, become a resident, were very limited and oftentimes non-existent. So I just had to deal with it. You know, just pushing that dream to the side for the past 12 years or so. When I actually became aware of the DACA program, I actually saw a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And it actually wasn't until I ran into a friend of mine from high school last year in May of 2016. He told me about the MAVNI program, and then, you know, my hopes were restored because I actually saw an opportunity to serve. So I talked to a recruiter the very next day after I talked to him, and the recruiter explained to me all the requirements and everything like that, and we started the process. I took all the tests that were required of me. I've been doing all the investigations and have done all the investigations. Interviews, oral proficiency, interviews, and all of that stuff. that required multiple trips to Fort Dix in New Jersey to have those examinations completed and all the interviews completed as well. After I took my oral proficiency interview, the very next day the recruiter told me that the DACA program was, the MAVNI program was actually canceled. And a week and a half after that, he actually called me back saying that there was a couple of slots available. There was only one catch. I was originally planning to enlist as a reserve soldier, but the slots that were open were only for active duty. And without missing a beat, I jumped at the opportunity. I really didn't care. As long as I had a chance to serve my country and put on the uniform, that's all I cared about. So I jumped on that. And actually, it was one of my dreams to be active when I was very, very young. But, you know, life changes, and so many years without having the opportunity to do so, especially now being a family man, being married, and with a four-month-old daughter, I just wanted to go reserves. But if I got to make the sacrifice to go active, then to me it was a no-brainer. So I just jumped at the opportunity. This country is my home. This is all I've ever known for the past 20 years. I don't know any other country. I don't know any other way of life. This is where my wife is. This is where my daughter is. This is where my friends are. Since I was raised here without any immediate family, my friends have become my family. So, you know, this is where my family is. And I don't know any other way of life at all. So this is why this is very important to me. So I hope this moves forward and people actually see the benefits that immigrants can bring into the military. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Eric, for sharing your personal story with us. Operator, can you let media know that we are taking questions now?
Certainly. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We request that you please limit yourself to one question, and you may re-enter the queue at any time. Again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal.
Okay, in the meantime, I'm going to ask a question. Colonel Stock, if I can ask you, you said that if Congress were to fix the current situation and to legalize Dreamers, it would have a positive impact on our military. Can you give us more details on what that positive impact would be?
Sure. Right now, you can't get into the military unless you have a green card, and that means that the more people who are allowed to get green cards, the bigger the recruiting pool. So, you know, as I said before, we have more than 13% of the population right now that's foreign-born, but most of those folks don't have green cards. They can't get them. So they have things like temporary protected status or DACA, or they're undocumented, or they might have an E-visa or an F-visa or, you know, something that's not a green card, and they're barred from military service. So if we allow more people to get green cards, we open up a recruiting pool that's bigger. We make the recruiting pool bigger.
What is the current deficit? You did say that military has been forced to lower its standards, its enlistment standards.
Yeah, the military will tell you that they're simply adapting to the changes in U.S. society to change their enlistment standards, but in fact, what's happening is they're lowering the standards. So people are allowed to get in now with waivers of bad behavior that wouldn't have been allowed in the past. And we've seen some negative impacts on the military when this happens. There have been some notably horrible cases where somebody was given a waiver to get into the military and then the person has committed terrible criminal acts or been kicked out of the military. There's a absolutely awful story about an individual who was allowed into the military when they gave him waivers, and he went over to Iraq, murdered a young girl, killed her family, burned their house, ended up getting court-martialed, and he's serving time in jail, but he never should have been allowed into the military in the first place. He was a native-born American, and at the time they were desperate for good recruits, and they gave him a waiver to get him into the military because they couldn't find enough recruits. we're starting to see that now that they've blocked immigrants from joining the military, that instead of finding highly qualified native-born recruits to replace the immigrants, they're finding unqualified native-born recruits. And they're letting those folks into the military, and that has a bad impact on the military. You hurt military readiness and discipline when you let people into the military who can't cope with the military lifestyle or aren't qualified.
And I just wanted to add, this is Jacinta Ma from the National Immigration Forum, that this can also just end up resulting in costing us a lot of money. There was a February 2017 report that estimated that the Army needed to spend about $300 million in bonuses and advertising just to recruit 6,000 additional soldiers to meet its recruiting target for that year.
Yes, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's exactly what happens. When they can't recruit immigrants, who, again, are more than 13.5% of the population, they end up having to spend a lot more money trying to get people into the military who wouldn't otherwise be interested in military service. So they're offering huge bonuses right now because of this problem of finding enough recruits. But even with the bonuses, they're not finding enough qualified people among the native-born population. Operator, do we have anyone in the queue for questions?
There is nobody in the queue at this time, but as a reminder, that is star one to ask a telephone question. And there are no telephone questions at this time.
Okay. So just a reminder that we will be sending out a recording of this call later today. I'd like to thank our participants, and also we will be posting and making available our report for Love of Country as of now. So thank you all for calling in, and best of luck. Have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And once again, that does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.